presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that's done for comedy, what Richard Gere did for animal husbandry. You join us in the historic town of Brighton, which, before it became the fashionable seaside resort we now know, was once a fishing port. It was in the early 15th century that Arab dhows, plying cargoes of exotic spices along the Red Sea coast and down the Horn of Africa to Zanzibar, were looking for another anthropoid to trade minerals and precious stones from white slavers and the great tribes of the Serengeti. Luckily, they discovered Dar es Salaam and so never had to come to Brighton. We're coming to you today as part of the Brighton Festival, and we're broadcasting from the town's lovely old Theatre Royal, which I was interested to learn is haunted. Apparently, eyewitnesses have described grey apparitions. probably long-forgotten performers from a bygone age. Poor souls that could well have died right here on this very stage. Let me point them out to you now. They are... on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And finally, please welcome the lady with the scorebook, who's very keen to put the team's points in. The delightful Samantha. Well, our first round is entitled Missed Hits. How often have you listened to a new LP and been disappointed that what seemed to have the makings of great songs were ruined by one unfortunate misjudgment in production? Every time we listen to the new Robson and Jerome album, I hear you shout. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some titles of songs and musical acts that would have been surefire pop chart misses. Barry, will you start us off, please?
The Sound of Silage.
My Old Man's a Waste Disposal Operative.
Mad Dogs and Belgians. Robin Cook, Robin Cook, right.
Meet Me in St. Leonard's.
Knees Up Gordon Brown.
The Newt Has a Thousand Eyes.
Arrivederci, Chroma.
By the time I get to Felixstowe.
Conservative Central Office's Land of Hype and Tory.
The Sun Has Got His Pants On.
Andy Stewart's failed hit, D-I-V-O-R-C-U, Jimmy.
Say we're in Hove.
Ah, B-Days are here again.
I'm just a girl who can't say Nice to hear them again, isn't it?
Let's go on to the next round, eh? This is called Celebrity Organs. Oh. This, I should point out, has nothing to do with Noel Edmonds or any other celebrities who just happen to be bodily appendages in their own right. You'll all be familiar with the recent and regrettable trade in internal human organs. Teams, for a small sum, I've managed to procure several mystery celebrity organs for your inspection, which Samantha has specially prepared in the two kidney bowls you find in front of you. So I'd like you now, please, to don your surgical masks and gloves. Now, will you please start to identify the...
Can we look at them now, Hon?
Yes. And start to identify them.
Do we?
You've got to identify the celebrities from the organs in front of you. Off you go.
Are they internal organs? I only ask if they're internal because that could be something from Michael Jackson's face.
I think we've got Jeffrey Archer's fourth prostate.
What do you think?
Completed appendix.
Well, Willie, what do you think?
Looks like Michael Winner's spleen.
What's that, Graham?
I don't know what that is. That could be John Virgo's commentator's eye.
Smack it and we'll all get a bit.
Oh, God.
Oh, you've just dropped one of Lady Porter's best bits.
This is pretty heavy, Graham. Can you give me a hand? Something to do with James Hewitt, I think.
For those at home, I should tell you that we actually do have the organs here.
Yes.
And they're being shown to the organ. shown to the audience.
Michael Portillo's heart? No, he can't be. Are these Parker bowels?
Well, as steam rises slowly from the organs in front of them, I think we ought to move on to the next games. What do you think at home, are atmospherics, is really the audience here throwing up. So we go on to a game now.
Oh, it is awful, but I like it.
We'll go on to an old favourite. It's called One Song to the Tune of Another. And it's a musical game that's as simple in concept as the title itself. And let me explain. In most songs, there are two elements, the tune, or music, and the words, or lyrics. Well, in this game, I want the teams to take the lyrics, or libretto, of one song or composition, and discard the music or score, and then we'll provide the instrumental or backing track from another orchestration or composition, but without its original refrain or vocal part. The team should then accompany or syncopate to this melody or harmony. And hey, presto. One song to the tune of another. There you are. And if you think that's a total musical mismatch, wait till you hear the combination of Colin Sell and a piano. Actually, Colin has of late become quite well known for his rap music. And when I say rap, I mean rap with a capital C. Graham, would you start us off, please, by singing the words of 10cc's I'm Not In Love to the tune of I'm Getting Married in the Morning.
Oh, I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've got it made. I'm not in love, no, no, it's because I like to see you, but then again, that doesn't mean you mean that much to me. So if I call you, don't make a fuss. Hey!
OK, your turn, Barry, now. And you have to sing the words of Oh, What a Beauty to the tune of The Sunshine of Your Smile.
See one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty. It must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat. I never thought a marrow could grow.
Willie, you're going to sing the words of J.J. Cale's Cocaine to the tune of The White Cliffs of Dover.
This should be fun. If you want to hang out, you gotta take her out. Cocaine, if you want to get down. Down on the ground, cocaine, she don't lie, she don't lie. She don't like a cane. If you got bad news, you want to kick them blues, cocaine. When your day is done and you gotta run, cocaine. She don't lie, she don't lie, she don't like cocaine. If your thing is gone and you want to ride on.
Finally, Tim, will you please sing the words of Rasputin by Boney M. to the tune of Danny Boy.
Rasputin, a lover of the Russian queen. There was a cat that really was gone. Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine. It was a shame how he carried on. He ruled the Russian land and never mind the Tsar.
Your glass is
full. But vodka, Sasha, he does really wonder more.
Never again.
Thank heavens for the rubber gloves.
Well, I know where they've been.
Okay, with Tim edging into the lead, we have a next round which is called Superstitions, and it's based on those peculiar little irrational fears that we all sometimes have. Tim, for example, believes that it's very bad luck to buy a round of drinks in a pub. And Barry believes it's very unlucky ever to do the washing up. If his wife asks him to do it, apparently he makes her turn round three times and spit. Anyway, teams, I shall now put your knowledge of these old wives' tales to the test with a series of my favourite superstitious beliefs and sayings. And we're going to start with you, Barry. Will you please complete the following? See a pin and pick it up. All day long you'll have...
a pin.
How true that is.
I rest my case.
The real answer is good luck, of course. Oh. Graham, can you complete this, I wonder? A dimple on your cheek, many hearts you will seek. A dimple on your chin...
and you'll get to play Spartacus.
Oh. And, of course, the real answer is many hearts you will win. Gosh, that's interesting. Tim, why do some people wear rabbit's feet around their necks?
Probably the same reason that bald people wear rabbits on their heads. Because at a distance they look like hares.
Well, I won't. We all know the right answer to that one.
That was it.
Willie, what in France should you do if you pass a priest on a country road?
Pick it up at once in your priest scooper. They're zealots where that sort of thing's concerned, you know. Little bicycles go around, don't they? Hitting you if you don't.
Do you know what the real answer is? Should touch iron to ward off evil spirits. Barry, you again now. Would you complete this saying? A mole on your arm can bring you no harm. A mole on your back
wants a lift to the lawn.
Alan, how sweet. Another one for you, Graham, here. A spider in the morning is a sign of sorrow. A spider in the afternoon?
A spider in the afternoon is a sign of poor positional play, leaving the cue ball hampered by the pink.
Or, alternatively, brings worry for tomorrow. Tim, if the cat in your house is black...
Phone the fire brigade. Only probably it's too late.
And the real answer is, of lovers you will have no lack. Willie.
Yes.
Beware of the man, be he friend or brother, whose hair is...
Not his, but that of another.
Well, you know, the real answer is, whose hair is one colour and his beard another.
Oh. No, but I'm sort of the same all over, aren't I? I mean,
no, you're not.
Oh.
Here are some more that you can answer, teams. Why is it good luck to throw salt over your left shoulder?
It gets the mole off your back.
The real answer is that salt was seen as a protective substance and evil spirits were supposed to live on your left side.
Oh.
But I'm not going to explain
it. Are these real answers good?
They are. They're out of a book of superstitions. So there.
Never read a book of superstitions or your bum falls off.
What's supposed to happen if you wear rosemary round your neck?
I think the best answer is you'll have to marry her.
And it upsets the rabbits.
Well, the mole's none too happy.
It says here you'll have a better memory, and I'm not in the least surprised. It's now time for another thoroughly enjoyable game called Cheddar Gorge, which is just one of many traditional pastimes taking their title from English place names. For example, there's Chipping Norton, which involves making stone sculptures in the shape of motorcycles. Then we have Tower Bridge, a card game for exceptionally tall players. And I understand there are still certain isolated rural communities in Lancashire that like to play Upper Ramsbottom. Anyway, as the game Cheddar Gorge so obviously implies, teams, I'd like you each to utter a single word in turn. The object of the game is to avoid completing a sentence and was suggested by a Mr. Ernest Saunders of St. Moritz. To complicate matters further, however, I'd like you each to include a special word indigenous to Brighton and its surrounding coastline. And these are, Barry, your word is nudist... Tim, crabs. Graham, deck chair. And Willie, sewage. And if I judge that a sentence has been completed, you'll hear this. Or I might sound my horn.
The old problem, eh?
Okay, Barry, will you start, please?
I... Once...
Saw
a
large
but somehow
strangely
attractive
yet oddly
bizarrely
grotesquely
and horrendously
yet
in
a deck chair.
Comma, crabs.
Sounds like a villain in a James Bond book.
Oh, my name is Comma Crabs. A
Commander Bond. I'm going to punctuate you, Mr. Bond.
Where are we? Comma crabs. And?
Don't look at me.
Lobsters?
Not.
Only.
Nudists? Cheated, I said plural there. An intrusive S.
Cavorting?
Lewdly.
Over.
A.
Cliff?
Who
was
in
Wuthering mood?
He
was
once
a
crab.
Like
person. Until
one
day
he decided
to
try
sewage.
I think strangely attractive butt will be cut out of the American version. Our next round is entitled Antiques Roadshow. You'll guess that this round was inspired by the television program of the same name. And interestingly, Graham has informed me that the presenter, Hugh Scully, is actually the uncle of Agent Scully from the X-Files.
True.
Amazing. Teams, in this round, I'd like you please to take it in turns to be antiques experts and members of the public who've brought along an item that they'd like the experts to identify and value. However, only the punters will know what they've brought along. The experts should ask them questions in order to help them identify the items and so value them. Okay, so you're to be our first experts, Tim and Willie. And Barry and Graham, you're the punters. Have you brought your object with you?
We have,
okay,
yes,
right.
We have it with us.
Now, for the benefit of our theatre audience, the identity of Barry and Graham's object will now be displayed via the megabyte magic of the giant computer-generated internet-linked laser display board, so generously funded by the Brighton Festival. Meanwhile, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Rutland. Rutland.
Okay, now, Tim and Willie.
Well, this is incredible. Yes. How long have you had this?
Oh, how long was it? We found it in the loft, but I can't...
Yeah.
How long has it festered in your loft?
I don't know how long it's been up there. It was put up there, I think, by my Uncle Hugh. Scully.
Have you any sort of idea what it is?
Well, we know generically what it is. We wanted to identifying specifically, really.
Yes, and how much we should insure it for.
Well, you can do that by size.
Oh.
It's about a pound a foot. How much have you got?
Several square miles.
Ah. I think you're quite wise to get rid of it, quite frankly.
There is a crack in it, but it doesn't show.
Yes.
Do you have a very large attic?
We have now, yes.
We knocked it through.
Are you implying that all people that go on this show are real Wallys?
Yes.
Some are reproductions.
It hasn't been used for a long time now, of course.
It's the Isle of Wight.
It was discarded, wasn't it?
It was discarded.
Found its way into our loft by a circuitous
yes.
route.
People who lived there were most upset.
Hong Kong.
Oh, you can see the pattern on it, can you?
Are there any markings on it?
Signposts, mainly.
One that says R-U-T something. Would you like
that
a clue?
That would be where rutting was allowed.
It doesn't exist anymore, Rutland, does it?
It's coming back. It's coming back. Your turn to be the experts now, Barry and Graham and Tim and Willie. I hope you brought your object with you. You have? Right.
Yes.
It's again.
Yes, we have, Hump.
Do we have to talk like that?
Apparently so.
Oh, okay.
Its identity is now being broadcast to our audience via the laser display, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The latest portrait of the Queen. The latest portrait of the Queen.
Start questioning them, Barry and Graham.
Are there newer reproductions of this, or is this the old original sort
reproduction
of
no longer enters into it, I'm happy to say.
Obviously an artifact from a bygone era.
Only in one sense of that. It is not strictly an antique.
You mean it's new?
That's a good way
There's
of
no
putting
getting
it.
Around you, is there?
This century.
This, yes.
This century.
More like 3 weeks ago.
It's one of the freshest antiques on the market.
And it's been in your family all that time,
about a fortnight now. It's being suggested a hand should come off.
How many hands were there?
Just the
two. Pairs.
One pair, I think, would be more accurate,
one
Gilbert.
Pair. We only saw one side of the picture.
Oh,
oh picture. Oh, what a good one.
Well, you know all about the subtle hint, don't you? Yeah?
Right. This looks to me like a picture.
Oh. More like a portrait. Oh! Of the Queen.
Oh! With huge hands, a grim expression.
It's a lovely piece.
Yes, thank you.
Not a very good picture of her, though.
We've finished, Tom. We've finished. We'll go for a walk on the front later.
We're fast running out of time now, but there are just a few minutes left in which to play a round of Launderette Attendance Film Club. So, teams, while Samantha and I drop into Sketch Liz to put some starch into my dicky, I'd like you please to provide some titles of films likely to prove popular with an audience drawn from the laundry trade. Off you go.
It's arbitrary.
Everything you ever wanted to know about socks but were afraid to ask.
Dry hard.
Cool wash Luke.
Non-bio east of Java.
The Smalls of Montezuma. Starring Laundry Hepburn and Ariel Flynn.
Some Like It Hot Wash.
On the Bleach.
Bring Me the Vest of Alfredo Garcia. Sink the Skid Mark.
Well, as the little Andrex puppy of time scampers onto the busy dual carriageway of destiny, and the extra strong meat vindaloo of fate confronts the toilet out of order sign of eternity, I notice it must be the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the tanned and muscular residents of Brighton, goodbye.
Sindra Chen, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.